This is Erin Blanding, and I'm here with Mei-Ling Loco for People Science. And I just want to say thanks so much for interviewing with me.
I'm super glad to be here.
Awesome. So my first question is, if you could please discuss your research and your work and what impact your research has on your field.
Sure. So, you know, my work focuses, you know, on taking some of the world's most underutilized resources in the form of waste from agriculture and the food sector, and upcycling them into a variety of sustainable material building systems. In terms of its impact, I'd hope that it has this sort of impact. I think it's addressing, you know, the building sector's, you know, most challenging problems in terms of energy use, material use. We primarily rely on a very high embodied and mechanical paradigm of systems to not only construct but maintain our buildings over the course of their lives. And to a large extent, in response to depleting, you know, material resources, climate change, affordability, you know, there's an opportunity to look elsewhere, and in the process of doing so, create some really cool products and hopefully a range of new green collar jobs.
Awesome. That's really awesome to hear about and exciting to, you know, watch. So I'm sure you're aware of everything that's happening right now, which I think is pretty exciting. And so I was wondering what impact has, you know, the pandemic and the current Black Lives Matter movement had on you and your research?
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit that, you know, before, you know, there's silver lining, there's a lot of somberness in terms of the impacts of this health crisis and this sort of racialized system that we are part of in terms of our communities, in terms of, you know, much larger systems, governmental systems, or academic institutions. But I think, you know, COVID in particular has made me much more hyper-focused on the local. And you know, just in terms of where and who is involved in the sourcing and, you know, processing and distribution of such technologies, and how to really rethink how value is circulated within that local community. 'Cause I think that constitutes, you know, a form of resilience in times like this. And, you know, sort of trying to think of, you know, the built environment as not just the place we inhabit, but as a form of public health infrastructure. And in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement, I think, you know, of course, that's, you know, sort of propelling conversations and hopefully change in a few ways. I think a lot of people have been talking about the structural stuff, you know, in terms of how do we get more people who are from Black or minority communities participating and participating productively in all aspects of our society. But I think what is less being discussed is, particularly in universities, is the intrinsic stuff. So, you know, what are our curricula? What are our knowledge systems that is being taught, speaking to, you know, in terms of students? Is it actually engaging students of color, Black students, in a way that is really critical, that allows them to find their own voice, their own agency, in a world that is very slow changing, right? So I think there's some excitement in terms of the energy that I think this moment in time has catalyzed. But it is also a somber moment to realize, you know, these are the same issues we've been talking about for decades and centuries. And, you know, if this is going to truly be different, you know, what are we each individually doing to contribute to that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, as an African-American student myself, I've noticed that a lot of my curriculum isn't really geared towards me. And so I think that that's a pretty important conversation we need to have. It's not just, you know, building names and street murals. It's more intrinsic, like you said. So that's really awesome. As an engineer, in today's society, you know, like you said, we're facing a lot of the same issues that we've been dealing with before. And I wanted to ask, what do you think is the first step in making STEM more welcoming to people of color?
I mean, I think, you know, I think we both can identify that we form a minority in STEM fields, and also when we go out into the professional world. In terms of making it more welcome, again, I think there's stuff obviously that's systemic in terms of, you know, financial aid mm-hmm. that is linked to a much wider, you know, systemic issue. And then there's also, you know, things like representation, seeing mentors, and finding a community within schools that is, you know, welcoming and fosters, you know, dialogue that is bidirectional, you know. I think it goes back, you know, to the curricula. How can academia redesign, you know, curricula, tools, it's the relationship of these things that we learn in our classrooms to the types of problems and experiences that, you know, students of color, Black students are familiar with. And so I think we need to get much more creative about that. And I think, yes, there's some conversations happening, but those questions need to very quickly, you know, jump to some experimentations, because I think mm-hmm. there's going to be a, you know, a long period of experimentation in order to really evolve some really powerful ways of, you know, engaging and sustaining the types of communities, STEM communities that people of color will feel comfortable and, you know, incredibly productive within.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree. It needs to happen soon, and the conversation needs to be had. So what advice can you give for young people of color navigating STEM?
Well, you know, I think STEM forms one part of the work I do. And I think, you know, first of all, I think, of course, there's a high demand for STEM, you know, disciplines and STEM skills. Mm-hmm. But trying to see the bigger picture in terms of other areas of knowledge that can also contribute to synergistic STEM goals. I've always found that, being curious has been such a wonderful catalyst for, you know, students, particularly students of color, when they have, you know, they engage more fruitfully with STEM education. And, you know, I think there are tons of frontiers unexplored within STEM disciplines, between them and also with surrounding disciplines like STEAM disciplines. And so, you know, I think being an outsider to the types of, you know, STEM institutions that we are a part of, you know, simply by, you know, the fact that we're minorities might be uncomfortable, but it is also a superpower. It gives you a unique set of experiences and skills and persistence that is really needed across a much longer lifetime of learning and leading. And I think that's ultimately what an education is about. So, I think there's a lot of opportunity for students of color to chart these types of territories, you know, primarily because of their experiences and the worldviews that they bring into, you know, our schools and in our workplaces.
Thanks so much for that. This is Erin Blanding, and I've interviewed Mei-Ling Loco for People Science. And I appreciate you tuning in.